Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and when I am in the throes of a new relationship, I am fucking insufferable. Who are you, friend?
You are. I love you, but you are. I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I am in exactly the right headspace for this episode. Because, like, y'all know me, and this is the kind of episode where I would generally be a jaded old fuck. But
you mean every episode?
Shut up.
We are just calling each other the fuck out right now.
One of my partners called me a feral cat today, and I was like, you know, not wrong. A doggo with the personality of a feral cat was the exact. But I'm hypomanic right now, which, for those of you who listened to the last episode, episode before that?
Last one, yeah.
Yeah. Definitions and such. So I am feeling all of the feelings. So many feelings.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I am kind of in my depression right now, which is one of the benefits of being a bipolar person friends with another bipolar person, is sometimes you're in two different poles and you can just kind of lift each other out of them a little bit.
Yeah. We used to go opposite for a while when we first met.
Yep.
And it was great because we kind of balanced each other really well.
Yeah. Love to bring down my friend who's in the heights of mania by just being a total downer.
Please do it. Please. Please, I can't stop.
This should just be called the Bipolar Show. Oh, man. Okay, so we haven't really mentioned it too much yet, but we are doing an episode about kind of crushes and NRE, which is something we talk about a lot on this show. It stands for New Relationship Energy. It's a term that's used a lot in poly circles. I'm wondering if you can offer up kind of a general definition of NRE.
So, like, chemically, you're high. Just, like, scientifically.
You're not fit to make decisions.
Yeah. It is that feeling of elation and a little bit of obsession where this person is the best person in the world and you have, you know, it gets called the honeymoon period. You have those rose-colored glasses and they're perfect and they can do no wrong. And this is where you're going to be forever. And it's just kind of this all-consuming energy.
Mm-hmm.
That tends to last for the first couple of months of a relationship, at least.
Yeah, I've seen estimates that put it at, like, a couple of months all the way up to maybe, like, 18 months-ish.
Yeah.
And I know that for me it's really varied depending on, like, what the relationship is like generally. Like, with my current partner, because we're long distance, like, every time we see each other, it's very high stakes and it's very high energy. And so I feel like we're still in NRE, even though it's, like, more than a year in. Whereas, like, I've had other relationships where maybe they did something shitty and hurtful a month in and the NRE kind of, like, snapped off really quickly. Or we just were the type of people who just got really, like, habitual with each other really early, so the honeymoon phase kind of dropped off. But, yeah, it really depends.
Yeah.
How does NRE manifest for you personally? So basically just describe your current state of
great.
Mind.
Great. Fantastic. So I think we talked about this in the compatibility episode, but so first of all, I do not get NRE and, like, intense crush feelings often.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once a year, probably every 18 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
But when I feel it hard, which I think is one of the things we balance really well, because you feel it really intensely a lot.
Not lately, though. Like, really, since I met my partner, I really haven't had that with anyone, which has been sort of a weird reversal for us.
Yeah, and I think, I think because he fuels a lot of that romantic energy for you, and at least channels it,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't experience it often, and when I do, I don't like it. I find it really unsettling because I feel it so intensely.
Yeah.
It's this feeling of, like, out of control that I don't love.
Yes.
And vulnerability, right? Because to feel that intensely
about
something that you don't have control over, like, not even a little bit, is a really, like, really intense feeling.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, people are so cute, and I like them so much.
Yeah, I feel like NRE is, like, both very exciting for me and also very, very annoying. Like, there's so many things that it does to my body and brain that I don't enjoy. And one of the things is the obsessive thoughts. And I think part of this is because I'm mentally ill. Like, I have had periods of my life where obsessive thoughts were a really bad thing. Like, they're, like, intrusive thoughts. And sometimes in my life, they've been thoughts about, like, really sad, depressing things, or like overworking myself during periods of mania. So it kind of reminds me of that when I'm in this cycle where I just can't stop thinking about a person and I'm just like looping the same thoughts over and over again, and I feel like I can't focus on anything. It can be very like disorienting and even upsetting in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And also I notice physically I find it really exhausting. Like, it's kind of like when you go through a period of intense emotional whatever, like, it can be really draining on your body. And, like, in particular, I notice that I, like, forget to do basic body care things throughout my day when I'm in NRE a lot, because I'm just, like, texting with the person all the time or thinking about the person or, like, writing about them, whatever. And it's almost like depression in that way, where it's, like, I just forget to do basic things that I need to do in order to sustain myself. And it's, like, not ideal.
And I think another one of the things where you said about it, like, being deeply annoying, super resonated with me. Also, I get this feeling, like, hyper aware of how annoying I am to other people, too.
Yes, yes.
And how much, like, it's like, I have to get this out of me.
You feel like you can't stop. And I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. And, like, or you realize that, like, you keep telling stories about this person and you're like, I'm sorry everything in my life relates to this person right now because that's just where my brain is. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And sometimes my friends are like, you already told me that story 6 times. Or like.
Yep. And you're like, I'm sorry. And it's just there. It's just all in you.
Yeah.
So many feelings.
This is actually exactly why, like, I have a question later that I was going to ask you about, like, ways to manage these feelings. But, like, one of the main ways that I manage them when they come up is journaling, like, a lot, which is why, like, I journal, like, pretty sporadically for the most part. But when I'm in NRE, I journal a lot more because I just need to get all these thoughts out. And I find that a journal feels like a safer place than even talking to friends a lot of the time because, like, you know, my journal's not going to judge me. I'm not even going to feel like it might be judging me. And I can go over the same thoughts and stories over and over, and it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it'll only annoy me later when I read it. I'm like, you idiot. Why are you like this?
Yeah, for me, I don't enjoy writing in the way you do, and I don't get enough, like, feedback from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually, if I'm into someone, I wind up enlisting, like, one or two friends who I know kind of feed off of that energy and enjoy it, mm-hmm. for the most part. Like, my roommate was talking to me about how they love these stories because they have no emotional investment at all. They're like, I can totally play into it. It's like escapist soap opera kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have, you know, I find the people who, like, kind of enjoy that kind of storytelling and also check in with them beforehand and be like, all right, can I, like, I'll text, I've done this to you all the time, I'll be like, can I crush Spiral for a minute? Can I just get into this and be really ridiculous and over-analytical for a few minutes? Great, thanks.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, like, retell stories. And it's great that, like, I have the certain friend for, like, that. I mean, it's usually you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, having a friend that I can update on all of the little shit is great. Because when, like, the slightly bigger shit happens, they have all of the context.
Right.
And they're, like, excited in the same way.
Yeah. And it is kind of a skill set to be able to be that friend. Because, like,
I
know this because, like, I'm a person who talks a lot about my NRE to a lot of different people, and some people are just really bad at reacting to it. Like, I remember when I first met my partner, and we had had this amazing, surprising first date, and there were certain people who, when I told the story to them, they just, like, were stone-faced, and I was like, no, you don't get it. Let me tell it again. Let me explain it better so you understand. And they just, like, wouldn't. And I think, like, there is something about that type of reaction that makes the spiral just continue, whereas if someone actually, like, validates my feelings and is like, whoa, that does seem like they're really into you, or, like, that is really cute, like, it kind of, like, calms me down a little bit.
Yeah, like, this, I love telling these stories to my roommate, Joe, because they will, like, be in the living room like, oh, shit! And, like, running around that. Like, they will lose it. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so validating, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a skill set, and it's exhausting to, like, to be the person receiving that, too. So, like, recognize, it's a skill set, and not everyone wants to.
Yeah.
And, like, that's cool, and it's a matter of finding the people in your life that do enjoy that and do want to kind of do that for you.
Yeah, I'm, for the most part, okay with receiving those types of missives, but there's definitely been times in my life where, like, maybe I was having a really bad romantic period, like a lot of rejections or a lot of nothing. And so hearing about this stuff, especially if it's, like, a relationship, can be kind of upsetting, can kind of trigger some bad self-worth thoughts. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking in with someone before you just, like, unleash a torrent of feelings at them.
Yeah, because even if they're positive feelings, they're still really intense feelings.
Yeah. Yep. I want to ask you definitionally about the term NRE, because I know that we kind of use it not just in the realm of relationships. Like, we've used it to refer to crushes if they were, like, new crushes, or, like, if they were crushes existing in the realm of, like, a new friendship. And, like, I've even sometimes kind of jokingly but not really said that we've had periods of, like, new friendship energy, like NFE, where it's just, like, you get really excited about the relationship however it is, and just, like, have that type of obsessiveness and, like, really positive feelings. So, like, can you have NRE with someone you're not even dating?
Yes, and so for me the feelings are very, very similar but still distinct, right? Because in a new relationship energy, you have this kind of cross flow of energy, right? You're both experiencing this, and you both kind of feed into each other, but also kind of release some of that energy into each other. sex jokes.
Love to release energy into my crush. if you know what I mean. That's what the kids are calling it these days, right?
that's how you do tantra, right? no, that was shitty. That's how Americans do tantra.
Roast them.
I'm just saying.
Drag them.
Anyway. I guess I am a jaded old fuck today, too.
It's okay. I love it.
But no, so you get this kind of cross flow, right? And this energy has movement to it. Whereas with new crush energy, it's somewhat stagnant. There's this, and that's, I think part of that is why so much overflows to other people, right? Because there's nowhere to put all of those feelings. Like, there's nowhere for it to go. And there's this kind of uncertainty that can be really exciting, but also kind of puts you off balance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. For me, there is a sense of danger in both of those different things, but it's a different type of danger. Like, if I have a really intense obsessive crush on someone that is not returned, the danger is always that I will, like, go too far, maybe make them uncomfortable, maybe send a text I'm going to regret. Whereas, like, if I'm in a relationship and it's just really, really intense NRE, like, there is a chance that you will match each other in your continuing heightening of it, and maybe do things like say I love you too quickly, like, before you're really sure you mean it, or, like, say that you're going to move in together before you really think that through, or, you know, start putting labels on things before you're actually ready to do that. And so, like, you kind of need to be able to step back and be rational, but that's very, very hard when those feelings are surging.
Yeah, I think I kind of mentioned this in the beginning, but it's really valuable, at least for me, to think about it as being intoxicated, right? Like, it's, again, it's an altered state.
Yeah.
I don't make serious decisions when I'm drunk, I don't make serious decisions when I'm depressed, and I don't make serious decisions when I'm in NRE.
Yeah. It's a very good rule. And also, like, relating to the intoxication metaphor, so I had a period of time a year and a bit ago where I was in NRE with two different people at one time, which is, like, brutal. Would not really recommend that, although not
I've had a better experience. We'll tell my story in a second.
Okay.
because that's interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, it just really exacerbated particularly the physical exhaustion aspects of NRE. Like, I remember walking around feeling just like a haggard zombie because I wasn't, like, eating right. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't taking good care of myself. And so it was actually really helpful that my partner, who is, like, a super Capricorn and, like, very practical person, would remind me to do those basic self-care things, like take my iron pill every day, journal a lot to get my feelings out, because similarly to intoxication, like, sometimes you're just not good at taking care of yourself. You don't remember to swig all that water so you don't get a hangover.
Yeah, for me, when I was feeling, like, intense crush or NRE feelings about multiple people, I actually find it helpful, so I don't wind up in that place as much, with that, like, exhaustion and everything. So for me, what's annoying is the really spiraling thoughts and the obsessive, I can't get out of this. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I start to, like, kind of fall into that, or kind of get to a place where it's like, you know, oh, I gotta talk to them again, or I gotta get that connection again, or something else needs to happen, I'm able to kind of bounce to thinking about the other one.
Interesting.
And kind of, like, keep a little bit on either side and not get too deep into one spiral.
Mm-hmm. It is almost like a drug kind of feeling. Like, you do...
One more hit.
Yeah, I experience kind of a withdrawal almost. Like, if I'm in NRE and I go, like, 4 hours without texting the person, there, I do notice that in my body and in my brain. And it's very, very weird how it literally does feel like a drug. And I guess, like, neurochemically, it is very similar to that.
Yeah, because I've seen stuff, and it, like, I did not look into any of this beforehand. I could be talking out of my ass. But I remember having seen stuff in line with, like, getting a dopamine hit every time, you know, you're connecting with this person or talking to this person or whatever. Mm-hmm. And your brain's going to want more of that.
Yeah.
And that's why it feels so good, right? And these are also, you know, in a new relationship, this is probably someone you have recently started or having a lot of sex with, right? And then any orgasms and all of those positive hormones and feelings are now also associated with that person.
Yeah, this is also another reason why I find it helpful to talk to friends when this is going on, because if you just literally reach out to the person every time you're feeling that craving, like, you might actually annoy them after a while, or you might feel like you are, which is almost as bad. And so you can get that dopamine hit from talking about the person, from, like, writing about them, from sometimes when I'm in NRE, I'll just be, like, on the subway and I'll just, like, idly fantasize about the person, just, like, you know, where I would take them on a date, or, like, what conversations I want to have with them, or what movies I want to introduce them to, or whatever. And that kind of, like, gives me a hit of that without needing to, like, freak the person out.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely sent you texts that have been like, this happened, but I just texted this person, like, a little while ago and had a whole ass conversation, so I can't do this again. So I'm texting you instead.
So here's an interesting question. Do you think that if a relationship doesn't start with that intense infatuation, like, if it starts with kind of, like, a more stable, slow-paced development without those very intense highs, that means that relationship is doomed, or can a relationship succeed even if that's the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I think relationships come in all kinds of shapes and things, and there are plenty, and I think not every relationship has to be, like, hallmarked with explosive energy, right? It can, comfort is also valuable, and stability, and a kind of safety. And a lot of stuff that generally comes later in a relationship, but maybe you've known this person for a while and you're already really comfortable with them, and, you know, maybe you don't wind up in that kind of really high energy situation. I don't think that means that the relationship is doomed, and I don't think that means you'll never feel that way about them.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Because I've had resurgences of NRE when I went on vacation with someone and was in a new place with them, and all of the exciting energy around that kind of refueled our relationship. Or, you know, you marry someone and that honeymoon period, you get that NRE hit again. So new relationship energy doesn't always have to happen at the beginning of a relationship either.
Yeah, it's true. I think my current relationship is like kind of an exception for me in my life, in that I had like very, very intense NRE, but it has led to like a pretty stable, long-lasting relationship thus far. Whereas like I feel like a lot of other times when I've had very intense NRE with people, it has burned out very quickly. Like it was sort of masking deeper incompatibilities that I wasn't really able to see because of NRE. And if I look at like my longest relationship ever, which was 3.5 years, like the first date that I went on with that dude, I was like, I enjoyed him. We had good chats, but it wasn't like that fiery spark right away. Like we didn't even kiss on our first date, which a lot of people say, if you don't kiss on the first date, it's doomed, which I will fight them to the death because that is not true. But it was like what you said about the like developing NRE later, because I think like he was my first ever online dating date. So I think I was like really kind of hesitant and nervous, and I needed to like build up trust. I had also like hardly dated any men. So I was much more slow to get into that. But once I did get to know him better, I kind of had like a belated NRE, which was cool.
Yeah, I've also experienced NRE after just having, like, a really vulnerable conversation with someone, right? When you learn something new about it, you kind of have NRE with that new part of them.
A question that came up a lot when I was polling listeners for questions is, how do you know when NRE or infatuation turns into love? And I feel like this is really inexact science. It is, like, almost impossible.
Super.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
So I wrote a post about this because last year around this time, I was being really over analytical and trying to figure out whether or not I was in love with my partner. And it was actually really funny. Like, he told me that he had been Googling love and reading the Wikipedia page for it to try to like remind himself of what it was, even though he'd been in love several times before, because it just like what we were having felt new and different compared to previous times. So he was just sort of trying to figure out like if that's what that was. And the conclusion that I came to when I wrote a post about it was kind of just like, I constantly found myself wanting to say I love you and wanting to text it to him. And at a certain point, like that had continued long enough that I was like, I think that this is what that is. But it's really hard because NRE feels really sparkly. And you're like, what if that just goes away and there's not love underneath? I don't really know how exactly to tell the difference.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking while you were talking, because love doesn't feel sparkly to me. It feels more like a kind of stability and a kind of grounding that I can kind of latch onto around, like, the swell of NRE. This kind of, like, connection and stability and, like, no, I care about you. I am invested in what happens in your life. But I feel like love and romantic love, especially in like rom-coms and everything, gets dressed up as this like sparkly thing, and I don't know if that's just not how I experience it or like to what extent, but it gets all of this really intense energy, like really intense pressure on it, right? Like it is this one true, one only thing. And I think I'm a lot more comfortable just like loving a lot of people, and like and that doesn't have to mean anything. Like that doesn't have, love isn't a mandate. Like it means I care about you, and whatever happens with that happens with that. And there's a really great post, we'll link it in the show notes. It's called Casual Love by Carcy Blanton, and it's just all about this kind of idea of love being a more abundant thing and a less drastic thing, and just like a feeling. You can feel it, and then you can, you don't have to do anything about it. You can just feel that.
Yeah, because people get very, very, people get so worked up about the I love you. Like, it is such a big deal. It is such a relationship milestone. If you say it by accident before you mean to, it can, like, fuck things up sometimes. I love this story. My partner, before we ever said I love you, we were having phone sex, and I was, like, all disheveled and, like, subspacey, and I suddenly got nervous that, like, I was too incoherent and he wasn't into it. So I said, "Sir, do you like me like this?" And he said, "I love you like this." And then we were both like, and just, like, changed the subject.
Whoop.
But it's, like, I agree with that article because, like, there is a continuum, I think, between love and not love. Like, I think sometimes we think of it as like this light switch thing, and I think it doesn't really work that way. But I mean, I don't know a lot about like the neurology of it. I would be interested to know, like, neurotransmitter wise, whether it is a light switch phenomenon or more of a gradient. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there is a distinction between love and in love, right? And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, fair.
But that's definitely a thing. And there is a difference between that kind of stability, long-lasting love versus like, I love this thing so much right now, and you know.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if one is the more valid or the right or the real love.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot in recent years as I've gotten sluttier and less slutty again about kind of like long-term versus short-term relationships and how like there's a certain narrative that long-term relationships are inherently better and that if a relationship ends, it's failed. And like I think short-term ones can really teach you a lot and can be lovely and don't need to be super long to be valuable.
Yeah, and like, I mean, this also falls into the like romantic love is supposed to be superior to any other kind of love, right? And this kind of, again, tiered system
Yeah.
of what is the right or realest or strongest love or whatever. And like, I love you and I have loved my partners and those things, like, one isn't stronger or different from the other.
Yep, totally. Speaking of partners, so NRE is a term that, as far as I know, originated in poly circles. And it's talked about particularly because it can be a real like sticking point or like source of drama or trouble when you're in a relationship and your partner gets into another relationship and then they're having really intense NRE, because for a lot of people it can trigger a lot of jealousy because like suddenly your partner is like really obsessed with this other person and like wanting to spend all their time with them and talk about them all the time, and it can really like make you feel kind of pushed aside if it's not handled well. So, do you have any tips on handling jealousy when your partner is in NRE?
For me, I mean, if you're the partner of a person in NRE, I would try and sit down and have a conversation with them and just explicitly saying like that this is an NRE situation and both like knowing that that is true, gives you a lot of power and a lot of places to go, right? And being able to label that and say, hey, can I get into my crush feelings for a minute? Do you have the bandwidth for this right now? Or being able to say to your partner, hey, remember you're in NRE. Is this really how you're feeling about this right now? Think about that more for a second or whatever. And just having that as a part of the dialogue gives you a lot of tools in your belt.
Yeah, I would add, I've often used kind of a CBT framework for dealing with jealous feelings in poly, and a lot of that for me is reminding myself of all the evidence that exists that this person loves me and that I'm really special to them. And when NRE comes up with a partner, often my sort of critical brain or my anxiety brain is like, well, yeah, all that evidence exists, but all that evidence is in the past. And now they're obsessed with a new person, which means that they don't love you anymore. So what's been helpful for me in those situations is to like talk to my partner about that and find ways to create new evidence that they do love me, like current present day evidence. Maybe that's like you go on more dates or you talk more often about the things that you love about each other. Just like not, setting one relationship aside or taking it for granted just because you have this new exciting thing going on. Another thing I would add, this is just like good general poly wisdom, I think, is if you feel up to it, it can be really good to meet your metamour. Because like especially when someone is in NRE, like it's very easy to think that that person must be so amazing and perfect and beautiful and smart and accomplished, whatever. But it's like if you actually meet the person, you can kind of diffuse that sense of a threat, maybe, because like you see that they're just a real fucking human like you, and they're not perfect.
Yeah, humanizing someone is really valuable in NRE, even as the person in NRE.
Yes.
Because I would say that that feeling of coming out of it is really nice in that you get to see their humanity mm-hmm. a little bit. Because when you're in NRE, that's really hard. Like, you have to consciously be like, okay, like, what parts of this person will probably annoy me in a couple months? Like, mm-hmm. what... And that's kind of how I decide how much to lean into the NRE or not, right? I genuinely sit down and be like, okay, what traits does this person exhibit that I have appreciated in the past, right, prior to knowing them?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. But being able to see the humanity of a metamorph, I think, is really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to be able to do that as early as possible, because I feel like the stakes are lower the earlier on you do that, right? Because the more invested they get into your, you know, your a relationship with your partner, or if you're the new partner in mm-hmm. a relationship, whatever, the more intense that second relationship gets, the higher stakes that meeting becomes.
Yeah, that is a piece of advice I wish I could go back and give myself. It's like, the longer you put it off because of anxiety, the worse the anxiety is gonna get, so maybe just fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would also add, it's totally okay to set boundaries with your partner about what you are and are not able to hear them talk about. Like, mm-hmm. I just can't hear details of my partner having sex with other people. That's, like, pretty much always been true for me since I've been poly. Like, I just don't enjoy that. It makes me feel really, really shitty in my soul. I can, like, know that they're having sex with their other partners. Obviously, I know that. But hearing details of it just, like, really, really profoundly bums me out. So I've, like, set that boundary with people. And, like, you know, there are certain insecurities of mine that I don't like to hear things about with regards to other partners. So, like, you know, if my partner was, like, complimenting another partner's body a lot, that might make me feel pretty shitty about my body, even if they're not putting me down directly. But, you know, I start to do the comparison thing, and that is not good. And so if you know that you're prone to that kind of thing, you can think about what would be some useful boundaries to set around talking about it.
And I think noticing that is really valuable in yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of polyamory can feel like jealousy is a failure.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, you can just mitigate around that.
And
you can say, you can feel that, like, gut-wrenching feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being like, oh, better hide that, that makes me bad at this. You can be like, all right, how do I make sure I don't feel that again?
Yeah.
Look at me, hypomanic and talking about feelings.
I'm so proud.
I should tell depressed me these things.
I will add, if your partner is going out on a date with their new person, please don't just, like, spend that night at home thinking about it.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I've made that mistake too many times. I sometimes have to consciously plan another thing, and not just any other thing, like, not, you know, errands or whatever. Like, I need to plan, like, a thing that is going to be fun and absorbing for me, whether that's, like, going out with friends for some drinks, or going out with another partner, or, like, going on a random Tinder date. Like, you know, something mm-hmm. that's going to take my mind off it, because I know that, like, ruminating is not great for my jealousy or for my mental health. So that's just the thing I have to know about myself.
Yeah.
Further to the topic of NRE, is there anything that would, like, kill your NRE if a partner did it?
I mean, the first time they piss me off, usually.
Interesting, because I've definitely had, like, conflicts in NRE, like, even little fights, and often if I'm, like, deeply in the throes of NRE, I get very upset at the thought of, like, having upset them, and it becomes, like, this very high stakes thing where, like, I'm pissed at them for a little while, but then I'm like, oh my god, please forgive me, I was being an idiot. And
yeah, no, like, the first time they really piss me off, I can come back a little bit, but I come back to, like, 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, you people now. Like, this is fine.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, any of my relationship, well, I would like to say any of my relationship deal breakers.
Mm-hmm.
NRE has a really good way of rationalizing around them.
Yeah. I've just been going back and reading my old journals from the brief period of time where I was dating someone who was not a feminist and who was also probably asexual, both of which are, like, pretty big deal breakers for me, I would say. And it's really, really interesting to read those journal entries because I was deep in that NRE rationalization. I was like, well, he's not a feminist, but maybe he is a feminist, but he just doesn't like to call himself that. Or, like, maybe he's not ace. Maybe he's just nervous every single time we have sex for a month and a half. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, where I, like, try to take this stuff and think about, like, what would 6 months ago me think?
Yeah.
Like, where do I have evidence of myself enjoying this in the past?
This or, trait or talk in to people. A friend who you know will be really real with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had an experience of having NRE just be killed dead. I was dating a dude who I was very, very into. It was, like, very, very intense, quick beginning of a relationship. A lot of feelings. And then 2 weeks in, he slept with someone else. Like, we were poly, but he slept with someone else without running it by me first, without even asking me how I would feel about that, without even telling me that that was a possibility, which I'm sure for some poly people... I don't like to
be blindsided.
What?
I said, yeah, I don't like to be blindsided.
No, like, I think that there are some poly people who would be cool with that, but we had not discussed that at all, and so I really felt like it was just a very big red flag in terms of him disregarding my feelings or just not caring about them. And he apologized, and he saw what he had done wrong, and we worked through it, but I definitely felt like my NRE was just sort of stunted because I just, you know, the magic was ruined. I saw that he was a person who could hurt me, and then I started thinking about all the other ways he could hurt me, and also felt less desirable, less attractive, less worthy of his time, because he had made me feel that way, and that was kind of sad.
Yeah, I'm realizing, I'm thinking back on the times where, like, my NRE has really, like, been crushed, and, like, honestly, if you fuck up scheduling...
The most Virgo shit. Like, I love it.
Right? I know. But, like, if we make plans and you, like, either bail at the very last minute.
Yeah.
Like, I have such a pet peeve. Okay, if you live an hour away and you text me 15 minutes before our event to tell me you're not going to be there. You knew 45 minutes ago when you didn't get on the goddamn train that you weren't going to be there. So you couldn't have told me 45 minutes ago? Like, what the fuck? Just saying. So shit like that. Or, like, having a hard time pinning them down for any sort of plans or whatever. Like, that'll kill it really quick, because I just don't have time for this shit.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay, here's kind of an interesting one. So we've both been kind of thinking about in recent months, I think I might be demisexual. You think you might be demiromantic. And I was wondering how you feel like that plays into or interacts with NRE.
Yeah, I think part of that for me is about how rarely I really feel any sort of, like, romantic connection with people in general. And that NRE, I feel like I get blindsided by NRE. Like, if you ask either you or my roommate about the beginnings of my relationships and the beginnings of my crushes, 90% of them are me being like, I think I like them. What do I... And I think part of what, like, feeds into it being so uncomfortable for me is that it's such a foreign feeling for me, that I don't have much basis in it, and that it feels unnatural to me. Like, it's just... It feels like something that happens to me.
Yeah.
Like, without my permission, it happens to me. And that's not to say I don't, like, really enjoy relationships, and, like, especially once I have that stability, and I really enjoy having romantic connections in my life with people. And there are a lot of good things about it, but it just happens so uncommonly for me and just does not come naturally to me at all.
Yeah, with regards to me probably being demisexual, like, I've noticed really weird ways that having sex too early, and I'm using scare quotes around too early because, like, that's, you know, a personal definitional thing, but having sex too early can, like, impact my feelings about a person. Like, there's definitely been times when I feel like I could have developed, like, more romantic feelings about a person, but we had sex so early that it kind of, like, ruined some kind of illusion or some kind of magic or some kind of comfort even that I had in that connection. And it just it felt like jarringly too early for me, and it could kind of, like, cut my crush feelings short in a weird kind of way. But then like, alternatively, I've also had experiences where I had sex really early with someone and it kind of pushed me into NRE when there was, like, not a lot of other basis for me to be interested in the person. Like, it kind of, like, blinded me to a lot of their faults and just sort of kickstarted that process of fantasizing forward and obsessing and stuff. And it was like I didn't even have time to get to know them well enough to figure out that they weren't actually a good match for me. So
yeah,
I mean, I deal with that now by, like, I pretty much have a no sex on the first date policy. I don't know how long I'll carry that forward, but I just find that that is better for my brain. Like, it seems to help me make more thoughtful connections, and it makes me enjoy the eventual sex more, actually. A listener question that we got that I think is really, really interesting is, what do you do when you're in the early stages of a relationship and one person has, like, way more NRE than the other one? Like, that can feel unbalanced, and, like, the listener is wondering whether that's a red flag or a potential issue, like, whether that suggests that the relationship isn't going well or if it doesn't.
I think it depends on the people involved. Right? Like, if you're in a relationship with someone and that other person is feeling way more NRE than you, that's a bad sign. With you being who you are, right?
Even them experiencing an equal amount as me is, like, kind of unprecedented. Like, I think my partner is maybe the only person who that's happened with, and I remember you being like, wow, you two are really well matched.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a yikes. So it was like, maybe I should think about this.
Like, wow, y'all are a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for someone, if you're in a relationship where, like, you know, one of you is just prone to stronger NRE than the other, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. As long as, again, I think it's really valuable to have that open conversation, right? I think the best tool in your toolkit for getting through NRE is knowing that you're in NRE.
Yeah. Admitting the problem is the first step of recovery.
As soon as you know it has a fucking name, as soon as you know that you're not just like this now, that your life isn't changed because this new person is in your life, that, like, the world isn't different, then I think it's a lot easier to work through anything else that comes up.
Yeah. I think also, like, it is a skill to be able to be loved by someone who loves in a different way than you do. Yeah. And it is a skill that I don't always have. Like, I had a boyfriend at one point who did not get obsessive or crushy at all. Like, he was into me, but he told me, like, that's just not how relationships work for me. And I found that so confounding. Like, it was so far removed from my experience that I almost, like, couldn't recognize what he was giving me as, like, love or appreciation or even liking me. Like, a lot of the time I just didn't feel that or didn't experience it that way. And that was so difficult for me that I think it would have been a deal breaker if we hadn't broken up for other reasons. But but it's like, one thing I really enjoy about my partner now is that we're similarly obsessive. As I said, like, we experience and express love in pretty similar ways. And I don't know if that's something that I necessarily need, but it is very nice. And I don't have to do all these sort of like cognitive backflips to try to explain to myself, like, no, this person actually does love you or like you. Mm-hmm. Okay, we actually got so many listener questions for this that we're going to split it up into a couple of episodes. I think next week is going to focus more on like crushes and not necessarily on new relationship energy, but we do still have a bunch of listener questions about NRE. So if you have any of those, get them to us via Twitter or email. We are at thedildorks@gmail.com, and we will be talking about crushes next week. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're on Twitter and Instagram at thedildorks, and you can find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. If you want to support us, rate and review us while we're there. While you're there, we'll be there too. It's fine. It brings us up in the charts. It makes us easier for other folks to find us. If you want to support us in a slightly more tangible way that actually pays my bills, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks. Toss a couple of bucks our way, and it helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Thank you so much to Protodome. He did our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. He's at protodome.bandcamp.com. Thank you to Amy. She did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. The most amazing thing has just happened.
What?
I got two emails while we were doing the show.
Uh-huh.
One of them is from a reader of mine. The message says, I have a question about DDLG. And the Great. Next one is a newsletter email from Gala Darling, the subject line of which is, Daddy Issues? I can help you with that.
Amazing. Please screenshot that.
I am.
Great.
You're so cute. You have so much Jake Peralta energy right now.
Dude. That's all I want, really. I love him so much. I had a thing and it's totally gone because my cat is over here distracting me. Mm-hmm. Hang on. Cat, no. That's my boot blacking water. Don't drink it. The fuck is wrong with you? Before, she was staring at me, like, trying to jump on my lap. And so I moved and was like, gestured to my lap. And she just looked at me like, what? I was like, on my lap. What? What? Oh my God. This fucking dumbass cat. We'll see if I'm still hypomanic next week.
Yep.
I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna be like, crushes are terrible. I hate them.